to see a show of hands. How many of you here have been born? We've all been born once, but what counts is to be born again. We saw a license plate out in the parking lot yesterday morning, and it said 2X born. What does that mean? There's an Ohio license plate and it said 2X born. You know what that 2X means? It means born again. Exactly right. Isn't that nice? It's nice to be born once, but if you've only been born once, that's not enough. You need to be born again. Because to be born once means that you'll die twice. To be born twice means that you may not ever die, and if you do die, you'll only die once. And that's kind of a puzzle, isn't it? To be born once into this world, the verse in the Bible says, we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. You know, and boys and girls have all sinned. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible tells us. And so if we've been born once and we die in our sins, then we will die forever because God can't stand sin. Scripture says that God is of too pure eyes to behold sin. And so we need to be born again. We need to have our sins washed away. That the ruler that song talks about, that was Nicodemus, and he came to the Lord Jesus by night and he said, "Master, what do I need to do?" And the Lord Jesus said, "You must be born again. You need to have your sins washed away." And those of us who have had our sins washed away, we might not ever die because our hope is to go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and not have to go through death. But if we do die, then we'll only die that once because when the Lord Jesus comes, then we'll be raised and live together with Him forever. Who else has a song they'd like to sing? Number 40.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let the one to Him become, they are His blood, He is from. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes. Yes, Jesus loves me.
The accuracy of the words of this song. One time I heard the song sung like this. The fifth verse, it went like this. If I trust Him when I die, He will take me home on high. Now, that's just a subtle difference, isn't it? But, you know, children, if we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, then we will go home to be in heaven with Him. And when those people were singing that song, if I trust Him when I die, that would let you believe that you had to trust Him at the very moment you were dying, otherwise you wouldn't go to heaven to be with Him. But see, when we sing, if I trust Him, should I die, that means that once we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are eternally secure. And that's a big word that means we will go to heaven to be with Him. And so that's a wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus is not going to save us and then let us go. He will keep us in His hands. Jesus loves me, this I know. What a wonderful thing to know that the Lord Jesus loves us. And that's what we're here this morning for. I know a man that lived, in fact, he grew up in going to meeting. And he must not have been listening in the Sunday school, because later on in life, he said, I never knew that God loved me until I was in my 30s. Now, isn't that sad? He must not have been listening in Sunday school, because when we sing, Jesus loves me, that tells us that God loves us. And you know, God loved us so much that He went to Calvary's cross and He died for us. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, children, we were enemies of God because we have sinned. I quote that verse again. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we can't quite reach up to God. So God has to reach down to us. And He has to provide the way so that we might be saved. So it's important to know that God loves you and God loves me. Otherwise, we would be wasting our time here this morning. If God didn't love us, we would be wasting our time. But God does love us. And so it's important that you understand and that I understand that God loves us. And we need to come to Him and have our sins washed away. Littlest child in the room is a sinner. You know, when I hold my little boy, he's just over a year old. When I hold him, sometimes he stiffens his back against me. He's rebelling in his own little way. He doesn't want to do what I want him to do. And so he stiffens his back against me. And that's what we do to God too. We stiffen our backs against God, and that's sin. The Bible says the plowing of the wicked is sin. Up in my area where I live, I drive around in the country all day long, and I go from farm to farm, and I see men out there, and they've just finished corn harvest, and now they're plowing the fields. And we look at those people and we say, well, they're just doing what they need to do to make a living. But God says the plowing of the wicked is sin. And so we must realize that, like it says in the book of Romans, God has concluded them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all. And so God says, you're a sinner. You've sinned. You've come short of the glory of God. Why does He say that? So that He might come out in mercy and provide you a way of salvation, a way into heaven. How many children say, I'd like to go to heaven, but never think that they must have their sins forgiven? We need to have our sins forgiven, otherwise we can't come into God's presence. Who has another song they'd like to sing? Number what? Number one? Okay.
Almost persuaded now.
Persuaded to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But almost is not enough. Somebody said, almost counts only in horseshoes and hand grenades. But almost is not enough when it's talking about the Bible, when it's talking about your salvation. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. There was one other boy here that had a song. What did you want to sing? Behold. Okay. I think we can sing it from memory.
Behold, behold, I stand at the door and knock, knock, knock. Behold, behold, I stand at the door and knock, knock, knock. If any will hear my voice, if any will hear my voice, and will open, open, open the door, I will come.
that simple. The Lord Jesus is standing at your heart's door. We sing another one that goes like this.
At the heart's door, the Savior's waiting. At the heart's door, lost in sin. Can you hear Him? He's gently knocking. Open the door and let Him in.
And so, boys and girls, the Savior is standing at your heart's door. And He's knocking and He wants to come in. And He wants to save you and He wants to wash your sins away. And He wants to give you blessing and He wants to make you happy and joyful and give you peace. And He wants to be with you. And all you have to do is let Him into your heart. One time, there's a man up in northern Idaho, and his name is Philip Roche. And Philip Roche, he was a man that would come to the Spokane meeting every once in a while when he could come, and he'd drive down in an old rickety four-wheel drive truck, and I think Philip Roche always wore the same clothes. He didn't have a lot of money, but that man loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would go up in the area where he lived. He was known as the preacher. He lived in a place called Roche Valley. His ancestors had settled in that valley, and it's a very pretty place up in the mountains. But he'd go into St. Mary's, Idaho, and he'd tell the people about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a faithful man in the gospel. And he told me one time, he said, "You know, you just need to ask some of these people if they'd like to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior." And so today, I'm asking you, would you like to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Would you like to know that your sins are forgiven? Would you like to go to heaven? If so, why don't you just bow your head right in your chair, right where you are, right now, and say, "Lord Jesus, I want to go to heaven. Please save me." You know, it's that simple. Somebody has said that it's easy to be saved, or it's simple to be saved, but it's not easy. And that means it's the Lord Jesus has provided a way. He's provided everything that you need to be saved, but there's something in your heart that says, "I won't. I won't. I won't." Every time the Lord Jesus knocks at your heart's door, knock, 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 you're saying, "I won't. I won't. I won't." You know, you need to change that and say, "I will." Because it's simple to be saved. That's all He asks, is that you say, "I will." It's simple to be saved, but it's not easy. Because of that thing in you, it's called your will. And your will says, "I won't." You can ask the Lord Jesus to come in and say, "I will," then He'll come in and save you. I'd like to sing number 44.
Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, I am alone at the close of the day. News of salvation. Children.
How many people were with this little boy when he was lying there in that tent? I'm sure it was a dark tent. Not a lot of electric light bulbs in tents usually. And probably not real warm in the wintertime. Not air conditioned in the summertime. And if you live in a tent, there's not a washer or a dryer around, so you can't keep things real clean. I suppose that boy had a few smudges on his face because there's no bathroom in a tent. So here's this boy, and he's a little boy, and he's lying in his tent. It's probably dark because it's at the end of the day. How many people were with that boy? It says in the song, if you remember, how many people were with that boy when he was dying alone in the tent at the end of the day?
More than one.
More than one? Okay, that's not what the song says. Later on when people came in, how many? No one. Says he was lying alone at the close of the day. How many children in here like to be alone? I don't see any hands. What, you know, somebody took a poll, and I'm sure most of us know what polls are. Polls are where people go ask other people questions to see what they think. Somebody asked people what the scariest word in the English language was. What do you suppose that word was? Alone, exactly. You know, in my house, if I ask my child to go upstairs or to go down in the basement, that's even worse. Go down in the basement and bring me up something. My little girl doesn't want to do that because it's all right if she goes down with some. If I go down with her, it's all right, but she doesn't want to go down alone. And so here's this boy lying alone at the close of the day. It's getting dark. And he's dying. He realizes that he doesn't have much longer to live. Is that a nice situation to be in? Would you like to be in his bed? How many boys or girls here would like to be in his bed? Lying alone at the close of the day in a dark tent all by himself. I wouldn't want to be in his bed. And all of a sudden, the tent door opens and somebody comes in and says, they came in and they brought news of salvation. Now, this boy has been alone, and it's kind of hard to imagine that because we're in this room and there's bright lights on and we all feel pretty good and there's lots of people around us and it's early in the day. It's kind of hard to feel what he felt, but that little boy, I'm sure, was afraid. And then somebody came in the tent and told him the way of salvation. You know, that little boy didn't hesitate. He said, "Tell it again." And then at the last, he said, "God sent His Son, whosoever, then I am sure that He sent Him for me." And God has sent His Son for you today too. Even though you're not in the same situation that that little boy was, God sent His Son so that you might be saved. Well, boys and girls, our prayer today is, and I would hope today that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because you don't know what a day will bring forth. Pretty soon the Lord Jesus is going to come and take us to be with Himself in heaven. And our prayer is that you would be saved so that you could go to heaven too. Let's for his help. And then I want to open the Bible briefly and we'll look at something else. Our God and our Father, we look to Thee this morning and we pray that Thou, by Thy Holy Spirit, would convict lost boys and girls and men and women and bring them to Thyself. We realize, Lord Jesus, that the work begins with Thee and it ends with Thee. And so we pray that Thou in Thy goodness wouldst bring these children to Thee. And so we look to Thee and pray for Thy blessing as we open Thy Word. In Thy name we pray. Amen. I'd like to look this morning, just briefly, at Luke's Gospel, and I'd like to talk about prayer a little bit. Let's look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And what I'm doing, when you build a house, you want to build a foundation first. So I want to give a little bit of a foundation to what I'd like to say this morning. And I'd like to read in Luke 18 and verse 13. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lifts up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner." And so before we start, I'd like to say that You need to ask God to be merciful to you if you're still a sinner. That's the first prayer that you need to pray. Now, I'd like to look at Daniel. We'll turn over to the book of Daniel. And we want to just look at Daniel briefly. You know, Daniel was an amazing man. As a young boy, he was taken away from his country, and he was sent to a far-off country, and he was separated from his family, and everything that he had known changed. And yet, Daniel loved God, and he had confidence in God that God would help him. And, you know, Daniel, the other thing about Daniel is he had an active relationship with God. And to illustrate that, I would like to read in Daniel chapter 6. In verse 10, Daniel, drop down a few words, went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, Daniel. This was a story about Daniel being thrown into the lion's den. And so Daniel was in a ticklish situation. His life was in danger. There were some men out to destroy him. And we live pretty sheltered lives a lot of times, but there are men in this world who, through jealousy and through pride, seek to destroy other men's lives. And so these men were trying to destroy Daniel. They wanted to do him in. And what did Daniel do? He went into his room 3 times a day and he kneeled on his knees and he prayed and gave thanks before his God just like he always did. As he did aforetime, it says. Now, when Daniel was taken captive, we read that the king was looking for good people to surround himself with. We heard last night in the gospel meeting, the brother that spoke, he talked about the world offering you all kinds of things. They want your skills and they want your talents, and they'll offer you all kinds of things, and yet it turns out to be hard labor and bondage. But this king wanted Daniel and his friends to be around him because it says, Daniel chapter 1, verse 3, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. And so the king was looking for the cream of the crop, as we say. He was looking for the best of the children of Israel to stand before him. And And Daniel was one of these men. Now, how do you suppose that Daniel was picked? Well, I think that Daniel probably had some natural God-given talents and abilities. But I think there was something else that about Daniel that the king saw. I think that Daniel knew God. And it says in verse 17, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. So, if we go back to the sixth chapter, we see that Daniel prayed three times a day as he did aforetime. And so, the clue here is that Daniel, I think throughout all his life, every day he went into his room and he prayed before God for wisdom and he gave thanks. Says he prayed and gave thanks before his God. And so Daniel had a relationship with God. Now the first relationship that we talked about earlier is that you need to be saved. And so if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you don't have a relationship with God. And God can't give you wisdom and knowledge. Skill in learning and wisdom, God can't give that to you because you don't have a relationship with Him. But Daniel had a relationship with God. He talked to God, and God talked to him. And boys and girls, that's what we need in our lives. We need to talk to God and give thanks and ask for wisdom and help in all that we do. How many children here are in a DARE program at school? Anybody here in a DARE program at school? I see a few hands that kind of not really want to raise their hands, but I'd suggest to you another DARE. There's a song that goes like this: Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. And so here was Daniel in a faraway country. We know from Scripture that Daniel was taken away from... He was probably a king's... Maybe one of the king's sons or a prince at least. And he was taken to a far-off country and as a captive. And you know, when kings come and take captives, they don't send the captives back to their country in air-conditioned buses. I'm sure that those captives walked along and they probably had chains on their hands and their feet were probably bare, and they were walking and walking, and it was a dusty, long, long, hot, dirty road that they had to walk along. And Daniel wasn't used to that. He hadn't been raised that way. And so as those captives walked along, they were probably thinking, you know, I'm kind of alone. But Daniel had God with him. And Daniel never lost confidence in God. We read in the sixth chapter again where Daniel was in the habit of talking to God. And so God gave him wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And children, that's what I'd like to leave with you this morning. You know, we need to talk to God. What kind of a house would you live in? What kind of house would you live in if your dad and mom never talked to you? Would you know what they were thinking? We need to talk to God. And we need to read His Word. And so, it says, God gave them knowledge and skill and learning. And then, over in the fifth chapter of Daniel, this is the reputation that Daniel obtained because he walked with God and he prayed three times a day to God. Daniel chapter 5. And verse 10. The queen came into the king. This is where the king had a party, and he was the king Belshazzar had a party, and he was totally ignoring God. He was not thinking about God, and God sent a warning to this king, and he wrote on the wall, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin," which means, "Your kingdom is weighed in the balances and found wanting." But that king didn't know about that. So he asked, how do I find out what that means? And so the queen heard about this, and she said, verse 11, "There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father light and wisdom, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar thy father," the king I say, "thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, forasmuch as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel." Now, Daniel, it says, had an excellent spirit. And so, boys and girls, that's what we need to have too. We need to have an excellent spirit. And how do we get that excellent spirit? Well, we need to have a relationship with God. We need to pray to Him and read His Word, and He'll give us that excellent spirit and wisdom. But first of all, first things first, we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We need to pray that first prayer, that is, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And then He'll give us an excellent spirit and wisdom and understanding, so that we can walk through this world and we don't have to walk alone. The Lord Jesus will be with us. Let's just ask, close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we look to Thee this morning. God and Father, we give Thee thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ and for what He has done for us. And we would just ask Thee that these children might dare to be Daniels, might seek to follow Thee, that they would pray three times a day and not just give thanks for their food, but that they would pray to Thee and talk to Thee. And above all, Lord Jesus, we ask Thee that these children would all know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, because that's the most important. And so we look to Thee this day in Jesus' name. Amen.